the adrenaline that's shooting off in the electricity, he captures it right there on paper.
Ladies and gentlemen, Al Hirschfeld.
Well, I've drawn ever since I could hold a pencil. Actually, all kids draw. I just never stopped.
Do you want to introduce it or should I?
I think you should start off.
Okay. Welcome to the Hirschfeld Century Podcast. This is the official podcast of the Al Hirschfeld Foundation.
I'm David Leopold, the creative director of the Al Hirschfeld Foundation.
And I'm Catherine Eastman, and I'm the archives manager. It's the most important title in the foundation, really.
I beg to differ, but we'll talk about it. That's part of what we're doing here. We're talking about Hirschfeld. There is so many wonderful stories associated with his drawings and so many questions that people ask about his drawings. We thought this would be the best way to address that.
Right. David and I go across the country, really, giving a presentation called the Hirschfeld Century. And it's a huge hit every time because David never tells the same stories. And the presentation never, goes the same way twice. So we have all these different Hirschfeld stories, and we decided we'd make a podcast out of it.
Well, we do these improvised illustrated talks, and that's really what we're doing here, except you'll have to look at the images online. We'll put links to all the images that we talk about in right. The show notes. So now you just hear us talking.
We're just going to blab on. Okay. So like David, you said we're doing Fiddle on the Roof, right?
Yes. I thought that was a great drawing to start off with.
Yeah, it is. There's so many stories associated with it. There's Big Name Zero Mustel.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, really. So this is the original production, 1964.
Right.
And there's a great story that goes with this drawing. Of how it kind of came about in a kind of behind-the-scenes type story of costuming and Hirschfeld's
method.
Yes, yes.
You know, so he would, his drawings appeared on, his theater drawings appeared most frequently in the New York Times, where he had a 75-year relationship. His drawings were in the paper on average every other week for 75 years. And the drawings appeared usually the Sunday before a production appeared on Broadway, opened on Broadway. And so on September 20th, 1964, Hirschfeld's drawing of Fiddler on the Roof appeared on the front page of the Arts and Leisure section of the New York Times. It was Dateline Washington, D.C., because he had seen the show in Washington, D.C. Shows used to do out-of-town tryouts. They would go to Washington or Boston, New Haven, Philadelphia, and Hirschfeld would go there to make his notes and then come back to New York to do his drawing. When he came back from Washington, his notes would be a combination of sketches that he might make in the theater, in a sketchbook, maybe during rehearsal, and then during performances, he made sketches in his pockets. He did it without looking. He thought it was like typing. You don't look at your hands while you're typing. Why do you need to look at your sketch pad while you're drawing?
That makes sense.
Yes, it makes sense, but only Hirschfeld can make it actually work.
Yeah, it sounds difficult.
He trained himself. He sat in the dark right. Once he felt that he sort of knew what he was doing, he went on the subway and drew passengers without them knowing. And so these notes were a combination of things, words and pictures and whatnot. But when he got back to New York to his home and studio on 95th Street, he looked at all the sketches and he was perplexed. Because in every drawing he had done of Zero Mustel, who was the star of Fiddler on the Roof, Mustel's vest was buttoned like a woman's rather than a man's.
Which I did not know there was a difference. I think
as a woman,
you
may not
story.
Be aware of it.
Yeah, that's true.
You've never worn any men's clothing. You've never thought.
I probably have, but it's not something I think, oh, the buttons are on the wrong side.
For the record, I have never worn any women's clothing. Not that I have any problem with that.
Okay. So it's buttoned on the incorrect side.
Incorrect side.
He is drawn.
And Hirschfeld, you know, he liked the spontaneous sketch. He tried to capture that in his drawings when he started working. He really tried to be as spontaneous as possible because he thought that would make the sort of the most lively drawing. So he's looking at his notes and he wonders why he got this sort of bit of information wrong. So he calls his old friend, Boris Aronson, who designed Fiddler, and who literally put
the set designer.
Right. Patricia Ziprod had done the costumes, and although Hirschfeld knew her, he was an old friend of Boris Aronson's. And so he called Boris up and said, "Why do all my sketches show this? How could I have gotten this wrong?" And Boris laughed and said that he hadn't gotten it wrong. In fact, at that time in the shtetl, men's vests buttoned like women's. In fact, all their clothing buttoned like women's. And so they decided to keep this piece of historically accurate research in the show. So Hirschfeld was satisfied that he hadn't gotten it wrong. But when he hung up the phone, he thought about it and he thought, if I do this, no one else is going to know this. And he knew that no one ever writes in when the caricature gets it right, when the drawing got it right. They only wrote in when they felt that he got something wrong, like he didn't put a flue in a fireplace or something like that. So he realized that if he'd done it like it was in the show, people would write in and there'd be a lot of mail to answer. So he dismissed this piece of great historical accuracy in his sketch, and he buttoned the vest like a man to avoid crank letters.
That's funny. So also we want to talk about caricature, because we call Hirschfeld a caricaturist, but that's not really what he did.
No, it's funny. He was considered probably the 20th century's greatest caricaturist, maybe greatest caricaturist of all time, but he really didn't practice caricature in the way that we traditionally define caricature. It's not pejorative. It's not, he doesn't do big heads, little bodies. He doesn't really use anatomical distortion. He uses exaggeration. He certainly treats things in a graphic manner, but he's joining the performer in what they're doing rather than commenting on it or putting it down.
Right.
When pressed, he would refer to himself as a characterist, because that's really what he was looking for, was the character of the performers.
Yeah, and he liked those larger-than-life characters.
Oh, he loved.
Like Zero Mostel, or like Ray Bolger.
Yes, when he started, his job was very easy, because there were these great performers like the Marx Brothers and like Mae West. These people were caricatures incarnate. And so Hirschfeld really felt that all he had to do was transcribe them. As the century wore on and American drama really went to a much more character-based drama, such as Tennessee Williams and William Ing and Arthur Miller, that should have been the end of Hirschfeld. It was the end of a lot of caricaturists. But for Hirschfeld, who was so much more interested in character, it was just a different type of challenge. But he really loved, he loved the larger-than-life characters. You know, they were fun. Zero Mostel fit that bill. And in fact, probably overfitted. he literally was larger than life in everything that he did. And Al would refer to these people as overactive thyroid cases. The kinds who don't close a door, they slam it.
Right. Well, before Zero was Zero, he was Sam Mostel. And he was a painter in the village, right?
Right.
And Hirschfeld helped him get a start.
Right. As I said, Zero was this sort of performer sort of waiting to be born. He would stop by Hirschfeld's studio and he would pretend to be a coffee pot percolating, for instance. And Hirschfeld thought that was hilarious. And one day, Barney Josephson of Cafe Society stopped by Hirschfeld's studio and said, "Is there a comic that you can recommend to open a performance at Cafe Society?" You know, sort of the curtain raiser before the main act came on. And Hirschfeld suggested there was this painter by the name of Mostel who was very funny and maybe he should get him. Well, he got him, and Mostel was a huge hit and went on to have this incredible career that we all are aware of.
That's so great. What should we talk about next? Should we talk about... Well, let's talk about this, because this is really important and something we talk about a lot, so I feel like our first episode should have this, is that the number of people who have seen Zero Mostel as Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof are disappearing. So that...
True.
I guess it's the topical value of the drawing is disappearing. Would that be fair to say?
Well, yes. It's always
I've seen Fiddler on the Roof, but I've never seen Zero Mostel as Fiddler on the Roof.
Right. Well, they function on a lot of different levels. Right. They always did, and what we're seeing now over time is the levels being sort of peeled away. Hirschfeld understood that it had to look like the performer. It had to capture the essence of the production, right, because that's what readers wanted. That's what editors wanted. That's how he got paid. But that's not really what he was interested in. He was interested in creating a drawing that withstood its topical news value. And over time, what we've discovered, what we're seeing right now, is people just like Catherine, who is a millennial. They
hold it against me.
Some of my best friends. since they don't bring the sort of baggage of the performance, they look at the drawings like art, like almost everybody today looks at Toulouse-Lautrec's drawings of Jane Avril or Yvette Gilbert in the Paris cabarets. I'm sure they were very accurate. I'm sure he captured the essence. I'm sure people at that time said, "Boy, he really got her." But nobody looks at those drawings today. Well, almost nobody. I'm sure there's a few scholars, some grad students who look at them for documentary information. We look at them for their aesthetic value, not their documentary value. And so that is one of the things that's happening with Hirschfeld's work right now and something that we'll address in future episodes.
Right.
But what Hirschfeld was, one of the primary objectives that Hirschfeld was trying to do, he was being a visual journalist. These drawings appeared the Sunday before shows opened. He didn't know if Fiddler on the Roof was going to be the biggest hit of all time or the biggest flop of all time. And he didn't trust his own senses in the sense of that. He felt there were so many shows that he thought were going to be great big hits and close the next night or the following week or something that. And shows that he, one time he told me that he almost fell asleep during a show and he thought, well, that's not going to run. And it became a big hit.
What was the show? I'm putting you on the spot and you don't know.
No, I know. I do know. Oh. I don't want to say it because it was Carousel in 1994, which was a great production.
Oh, and there's a wonderful drawing.
Wonderful drawing, but he didn't think it was going to be that big of a hit. Of course, he was wrong. It was actually a very big hit. And
was
really,
this at Lincoln Center?
It was at Lincoln Center.
I see.
So he was really like a visual journalist. He was trying to capture the action on stage and present it not subjectively, but objectively, you know, filtered through his own senses. He had a point of view, but it wasn't whether it was bad or good. It was,
and it didn't have any spoilers. It didn't tell you the plot.
Right. It gave you all the action, but didn't tell you any of the story.
Right. And I think that's accurate. If you look at the original drawing of Fiddler on the Roof, it perfectly sums up the show, but yet nothing's really happening in the drawing.
Right.
But it's so alive and it so captures everyone. I mean, at least for me, I didn't see the original production, so it captures the characters more so than the performers like Zero Mostel. So there's a bunch of drawings of Fiddler on the Roof. We have this original drawing from 1964. Which appeared the Sunday before, which is incredible because you would think, you know, we think of Fiddler on the Roof now as like one of the most popular musicals of all time.
Sure, been revived on Broadway, I think, 5 or 6 times.
But then it was completely unknown. So that's just, it always blows my mind when I think about it that way. We also have the movie, which is how I grew up with Fiddler on the Roof.
Right.
From 1971.
Hirschfeld did a drawing for The Times, actually one of his rare film drawings for The Times.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that was for The Times.
Oh, yeah. That was for The Times.
Wow.
And he captured the performer who played Tevye in the film version was an Israeli actor by the name of Topol.
Right. And that's my Tevye. You always say, you know, Zero Mostel is the ultimate Tevye, but that's what
not
I grew
just
up
me.
With.
It's
well,
not
I
just
know,
me.
I know. Well, I grew up with the movie, so that's my Tevye. There's also, so the other good drawing that he kind of records theater history in is 1972. It surpassed Tobacco Road as the longest running show on Broadway.
Yeah, and so he shows Tevye and his wife racing past the actors in Tobacco Road and also Life with Father, which was a very long-running show on Broadway. So Hirschfeld would do sometimes these fun drawings that weren't necessarily the show opening this week.
Right, right. Then there's another single portrait of Tevye, or Zero Mostel, excuse me, from 77.
Yeah, oh yeah, when Zero did a revival in 77, and Hirschfeld captured him in that performance before he died, actually.
Well, that couldn't have been too long after the original production ended that it was already being revived again.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. I guess that happens today a lot, too.
Oh, without a doubt.
We're looking at you, Les Mis.
or cats.
Well, cats less so than Les Mis, but yeah. And then another Topol drawing in 1990.
So Topol eventually played it on Broadway, and Hirschfeld did a drawing of him then. Mm. And he's a character that shows up, and there's two drawings of Jerry Robbins, who was the original director and choreographer of the show. And there was a drawing of Jerry Robbins in 1981 that was talking really about his duality, you know, this ballet genius and this great Broadway show genius. Mm. And the two characters were a ballet dancer and Tevye. Mm. And then when Jerry Robbins did Jerome Robbins on Broadway, Al did a sort of composite of dances from 10 different shows, all hanging off Jerome Robbins sort of telling people what to do, which is something that Robbins really liked to do. And so Tevye shows up there, and not so much Zero Mostel as Tevye, but Tevye.
A Tevye character. I think we should also touch about, because there's also great stories about the rhinoceros drawing.
Oh, yeah. Well, Zero, he started drawing Zero all the way back in 1945 in a show called Concert Varieties that actually also starred Jerry Robbins, which is just a crazy thing. They would have a very complicated history because Zero was a blacklisted actor and Jerry Robbins was who named names.
Oh, wow.
And there's a whole story about, you know, their tryouts for... A funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. Mm. They had a very contentious relationship, but it made great art.
Mm,
so in 1961, Zero played in Ionesco's Rhinoceros with Eli Wallach, a great cast. And it was produced by a German expatriate set designer and sometimes producer by the name of Leo Kurz, who would end up playing a sort of very significant role. Well, not he himself, but his wife, a young woman by the name of Louise, who he had married soon before this production, and she was his production assistant on the production. And of course, Hirschfeld came to see it. It was a great show. If for those of you who don't know Rhinoceros, it's a show about conformity, in which the characters in the play start to become rhinoceroses. And which is crazy. But Ionesco really insisted that they wear masks. And Zero Mostel said he didn't need a mask to turn into a rhinoceros, which I guess is something that Zero Mostel might say.
Right.
And he really fought hard for it.
If he can be a coffee pot, he can be a rhinoceros, I guess.
It's easy after that. And Zero was someone who felt very strongly about his opinions, and he, as great and funny as he was prone to getting into arguments with people. Mm. Louise Kurz told me a very funny story. When she and her husband Leo were through a party one night at their apartment, and Zero was having a fight with Harold Clurman, the great director and originally from the group theater. He was having a fight with Harold Clurman about something. And they had both been invited to the party, and the party's going on, and Louise was a little bit concerned about what would happen when they both were in the same room. And Zero gets there, makes a grand entrance, and he announces to everybody, he says, "I just want to let everybody know that Harold Clurman and I are not having an affair." Which That's is exactly great. The way, I mean, he diffused the whole situation.
Right.
And
by
he was a
it.
Crazy character, and which made him exactly the kind of person that Hirschfeld liked to draw.
Right.
And when he played this rhinoceros, even though he did not have any makeup, you believed he was a rhinoceros. Yeah.
And in the drawing, I think he has rhinoceros feet, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. He does.
So he's, and like, he's turning sort of into a rhinoceros.
He did not have it on stage. It upset UNESCO so much that he left New York before the opening. He was so upset by it. But of course, it's the one thing that Broadway production sort of catapulted that show, in that play, into sort of a classic.
Oh, interesting. Do we have anything else to say?
I always have more to
say.
Well,
yes, but for this episode, David.
You should really look up on our website. You can look up Zira Mostel. We'll provide a link.
It's alhirschfeldfoundation.org. That's correct. Where you can look up all the drawings. I'm going to post all the drawings we talked about or even mentioned in the show notes, so you'll be able to find that. You can also find the episode in the show notes at our website for the podcast, which is alhirschfeldfoundation.org/podcasts. That's with an S at the end.
Because that's S for super.
Right. No, it's not. Follow us on Facebook, the Al Hirschfeld Foundation. We have a fancy little check mark that I'm very proud of that we have. Meaning
we're also on Facebook.
That's what I just said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say on Twitter.
Twitter at Al Hirschfeld. Instagram at Al Hirschfeld. Subscribe to our new show on iTunes. This is our first episode, so please forgive us. We're still working. I mean, I think we're doing a great job.
But if you do say so yourself. Yeah,
but we're still figuring everything out. So.
And tell your friends and write reviews, because that's how people listen to podcasts and know about them.
Definitely.
So thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you. Bye.